just going to read the fourth verse tonight. But what? Before I read it, before you stand, I just want to ask something. Is there any one of you or two of you that this week caught the principle of what I'm trying to get you to understand about this, and in your own personal reading has learned something from the Scriptures besides here to church, in your own personal, at home, at work reading? Would anybody like to volunteer to tell us what you've learned in your own personal reading? Anybody like to? It'd be no big deal if nobody does, but I've been telling you, if you'd like to, I'd like to hear it. Yes, ma'am. Exactly. Good. Good. Gang, listen to me. When you go to God and God starts to feed you and grow you and teach you, it's all good no matter where it comes out of. Okay? God's trying to grow us up. He's trying to make men and women out of us and not just little kids the rest of our lives. All right? We don't need to die at 75 years old as a child spiritually. We need to die as a man. Anybody else like to testify what you've learned maybe in your Bible study, Bible reading, Brother Jim? I think, yeah, they sure are. Yeah. Yep. God teaches you something out of that, didn't he? Yeah. Even though Saul was a scallywag. Me and Brother Rick was talking about that today. That's a whole message I got in this series about what you can learn from David. You don't attack who God anoints. That's just plain and simple. It just ain't good policy to do it. I promise you that. But that's good. Anybody else? One more. Yes, sir. Amen, brother. Amen. Now you hang tight on that thought and listen to tonight's message, okay? Amen. Yes, sirree. All right. Good. Good. See, that's what you got to do. That's why you read the Bible, to learn something from the Lord. Something you chew on, something you walk in, something you apply to your life, something to make you better. Realize and remember now, gang, you're going to the judgment seat of Christ, give an account of everything you've done. In the body, out of the body, that ain't under the blood of Jesus, we're going to give an account for it, okay? And we need to face God properly. All right, now, let's go to Romans 15. Stand together, and we'll read a verse here, verse 4, our text verse. We're again asking what happened. We're asking what did God do, how did they respond, what was the result, and what did we learn out of all these things that we're talking about this week. The fourth verse of Romans 15 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Now let's go another direction tonight, if we may. Go to Galatians 6. Go to Galatians 6. Now I'm not going to deal with a man necessarily tonight, but I'm going to deal with a subject tonight that I believe we need to be aware of. In Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 6, this is what God's Bible says to you and I tonight. "Let him that is taught." Now there's key words about our learning. "Him that is taught." Are you teachable? Yeah, I hope so too. And on any given day, we cannot be teachable. If you let arrogance shut your brain down, you'll be in a mess. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Be not deceived, God is not mocked, and whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary. Here's my thought for tonight. Let us not be weary in well-doing. You know as well as I that the old-time man of God in the Old Testament said, study is a weariness. Learning this book is a weariness. It takes a lot of discipline to stay with it. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There are times in your life and my life and everybody's life that it's just a chore to learn this stuff. It just really is. It just gets on to you to the place where you just, I can't take no more of this. And you take a break, you come back to it. And you take a break and come back to it. All right, you listen to me? It's like working on a car. When we used to work on cars, okay? Them days are over now. You'd rack your knuckles off, you know, and round off the nuts and all that kind of stuff. And you just wanted to blow the car up, not fix it. But you went and did something else, you know, went and baled a field of hay or whatever you could do. And when you come back to the car, then you could work on it again because your attitude was changed. Well, it's the same way with God. There are times in your Christian walk where you're going to get weary in well-doing. I want to bring you a thought tonight, if I may, that will help us in this. And you're going to have to listen good and listen well, because this is what, like that death message the other day. This one's not going to swallow well unless you just are really right with God. Because we all are guilty of this one, and we need to fix it in our lives. Okay. Father, you know what we need to do tonight? We need to just humble ourselves in thy presence, open our hearts and minds to you, and let the Holy Ghost of God speak to us. Now, I want to thank you for what you've been saying to these family members of ours in their own personal studies. And I thank you for that. That's what the book's supposed to do. It's supposed to talk to us. I ask you to bless Brother Fenton and this great church, God. And I pray that you'll help us. And Lord, as we dive into this one tonight, I pray that we'll learn what it's going to take to combat the battle that's going on right now. Even tonight in this room, there's some battles going on, my Father. And that, Lord, all around us, there are battles going on, God. And Lord, I'm not talking about a fresh battle. I'm talking about one that's been going on for 6,000 years. And I'm asking you, my God, to help us learn how to fix it and how to do something about it and how to stay as far away from it as we possibly can and come home to judgment not ashamed of ourselves. Father, save the lost and help the saved to get understanding and instructions. And we'll thank you for every bit of this in Jesus' name tonight. Amen, my Father. Amen. You may be seated, my family. As Mom and I travel this land of ours and watch and look, as you already know, we've been at this thing over 40 years, and your pastor's been saved 50 years and been preaching a long, long time. I think I remember you said you've been here 31, right? Been here 31. It's not the same as it was when we all started out. It's gotten different. Less holy. It's gotten less enthusiastic about the ways of God. Those that used to are now too old to get into it. And it seems like some of the younger generation are not interested in the fervency that it takes to stay in the work of God. It takes a fervency. You're going to have to make up your mind. I'm doing this, come rain or shine. I'm doing this, no matter what comes what may. By God's help and grace, I'm going to stay with this. But there is a factor. There is something that is warring against your resolve. And I want to deal with that tonight, if I may. And maybe we'll learn tonight how to combat it and how to fix it. Inside of every believer, there is a natural division. There's an old nature and a new one. There's the Holy Ghost of God, and there's the old nature of Don Hardman. I'll use me so you don't get mad, okay? The old Don Hardman is still there. He's not dead and eradicated. He's still in there, okay? And I got to keep him under wraps, under control, and down as best I can at all times, because on any given second, he'll rear, okay? He'll rear up, and he'll put me in a position of sin before my God if I'm not careful about keeping him in control. So this natural division is part of the battle. The spirit lusteth against the flesh against the spirit, on and on and on, okay? But you and I got to understand something that we can beat. And I've been trying to get it to you little by little, inch by inch, night by night, on how victorious we really are in Christ Jesus. Whether the task is huge for Joshua or whether the self is huge for Don, okay? We can beat all of this if we just stay with God Almighty. But here we find in the Galatians text, the Apostle Paul telling this church there, and by the way, he was afraid of that church. They had started out fairly good. You know, a lot of folks start out fairly good. But in the chapter 1 right there, we'll not go to that for time, but in chapter 1 right there, he sees them just a little bit weaker than they was when he first started them. And if you'll study your Christian life real close, unless you have just been really putting your nose to the grindstone, you're weaker tonight spiritually than you were when you first started. I am too. Come on. He said, preacher, what are you trying to get me to understand? I'm trying to get you figured out. When we first got saved by the grace of God, you couldn't keep us out of church. You couldn't keep us. We didn't even want to go to work. We wanted to stay home and read the Bible. Come on, didn't we? We wanted to pray. I mean, we first got saved, there was a monstrous blizzard that hit western Ohio. In fact, two blizzards hit at the same time in 77. Y'all remember that? Hit in 78 also, okay? In the 78 blizzard, we was out there. We was working in an oil refinery at that time. And the whole world was shut down. Interstate 75 was 25 feet deep. Nobody could get anywhere out there in that flat land. And so the pastor said, we can't have church. And I went berserk. I said, what do you mean we can't have church? Let's get snowmobiles and go to somebody's house and have church. I mean, I couldn't stand being home. Boy, it bothered me bad. I'd call him every Saturday night. We going to church tomorrow, preacher? He said, no. We can't go nowhere. We're outlawed. We can't do it. But then after a while, come on now. Then after a while, this happens, that happens, this comes up, that comes up, you know, whatever, okay? And in all of this, my dear family, we're not as we used to be. Now, stay with me now. Stay with me there. There's been an attack, a massive attack, since I've been saved, on holiness in the church of the living God in America and everywhere else. And it's been absolutely full force against us in the last 20 years. And what it's trying to do is to not get us away from God, but just weaken us in God. And this liberalism, modernism, has done its job on the church of the living God in our great land of America, the greatest country on earth. And because of the natural division in all of our lives, my dear family, when we combat this thing, there are times in our lives when we lose the battle. Paul said to the Galatian church, let us not be weary in well-doing. Gang, listen to me. You guys at work during the day, it's natural that you're tired of a night. You've worked all day. I know some over at the campground. I mean, they're like a bunch of little bees over there. I mean, they're nonstop. And they're tired and they're weary of a night. And that's a natural thing to be. But a lot of times in the ministry, in the ways of Christianity, we're the same way. We have served God and loved God and stayed with God and walked with God and preached the book and pastored the church and run the roads and all the different things that we do. And after a while, we're just weary. We're just tired, and we're looking for energies, and we're looking for power, and we're looking for the things that we need to just go another day. I've talked to men that on Saturday nights have said, God, I wish I could find somebody else to preach tomorrow. Now, that's a tired preacher. Okay? Mentally tired. Physically tired. I know men whose churches were just going great guns. I mean, everything was fine. But they just lost their zeal. You'd think it would build the zeal. You'd think it would build the thing up when everything's doing fine. But it didn't. They were so worn out from the good work, if you will, pleasing, well-doing, that they just had no heart to it no more. Then they'd go to the pulpit without the Holy Ghost. And when they get in the pulpit without the Holy Ghost, they preached in the flesh. And they got through it because they could intellectually and experientially preach the Word of God, and half the congregation didn't even know they didn't have God on them. Come on, stay with me now. Now, we that do this all the time, we can tell when somebody ain't got God on them, okay? We can tell that. There's a discerning factor that we have that maybe you do not have right now, but you'll get it after a while. But I'm just telling you right now, gang, a lot of times the church, the average church has no clue that the pastor's in trouble. He's there, he's preaching, he's trying to do everything that he possibly could do, just like he does every week, but there's something wrong. There's something ain't quite right. If you could sit down with him in a day or two and just maybe have a cup of coffee and a piece of pie or something, and talk to him long enough, you'll find out that he's in trouble spiritually. What's happened to him, preacher? The battle is strong. To keep a church holy, it takes every ounce of strength a pastor has to keep a church holy. Because every crack in the church, every open window, every open door, every crack in beside is letting liberalism in. It's sinking in and sipping in and draining in and dripping in, and it's coming in all over the place. And as it comes in, it doesn't just affect those that it comes in and drips on. It affects a whole pew. It'll affect a whole corner. It'll affect the whole side of the church house. And that liberalism and that modernism will come in, and all of a sudden there's different ideas coming out of people who you'd never think in a million years would say that or think that. But they are. Why would you say that? Well, I've been, you know, studying this and listening to this, and I've been listening to you for years, and you know, preacher, this is a new day we're living in. It's not like it used to be back when you first started, preacher. It's different now. People are different now. You say, preacher, what are you trying to get me to understand? I'm trying to get you to understand. Something's come in. Something's creeped in on them. 20 years ago, they stood at the doorway and fought off every devil that come a-dripping in there. But now, they say, you know, Paul's trying to get them to understand that they can't be weary and well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. If we faint not. And a lot of our brethren are fainting today. They look out across the horizon and they see the storm clouds arising. And they wonder, well, I wonder how we're going to make it. And they look out their congregation and they're looking out there and they're trying to figure out which ones are going to make it, which ones ain't. And the very ones they think will make it are the very ones that are first ones messing up. I got four little simple thoughts for you about victory over this liberalism. It's hitting us. And it is hitting us. It's hit me for 30-some years. I remember the first time I preached at Carl Lackey's church down in North Carolina, way back in the old days. And a guy walked up to me, been in evangelism for years, and he said, Brother Don, he said, I want to ask you something. He said, how long you been evangelism? I said, I'm just starting. He said, let me give you some advice. He said, come in there in that church. He said, preach it sweet and kind in 30 minutes. Get your check and get out of there. I said, really? He said, yep. He said, I preach Sunday to Wednesday. Then he said, I run someplace and start a Thursday to Saturday night meeting. He said, I preach a couple of meetings a week. I said, well, a couple meetings a week. How's that work? He said, well, he said, I'm booked, son. He said, I'm just booked. And he said, this is what you ought to do. If you're going to survive evangelism, you sure better learn how to do it right. So just get your check, preach to them sweet, kiss them on the cheek, and get out of there. I said, well, there's only one problem with that. He said, what is it? I said, that ain't what God called me to do. He said, God called you to do this? I said, God called me to Isaiah 55. He told me to blow a trumpet loud. He said, well, you'll never make it in evangelism. That's what I probably won't. But I said, that won't be God's fault. That'll be mine. But I'm going to do what God told me to do until it collapses. A few years later, he's out of the ministry, and I'm 35 years in it now. What happened, preacher? His compromise finally caught him. It's been on the books for 6,000 years. Eve compromised first, then Adam. Come on now. It's been 6,000 years of compromise in this old crazy world of ours. And gang, listen to me, here in the last days, it is rampant. Every place you look, it's just a little bit of this. You know, it's like a, you know, another inch up on a skirt, girls. Just another inch. I mean, what's an inch, really? Do you remember when spandex come out? Everybody wore their dresses clean down over their spandex. I said, it's going to make me belong. I said, there'll be shirts and spandex. And up them skirts come. It's pretty what you're saying. You take a look at this world, my dear family. This world is anti-God. And the anti-God wants to come in. Now, they can't steal your salvation, but they're going to steal your effectiveness. And when you and I smell, act, talk, and look just like the world, we have compromised to the place where we can... Listen, Lot compromised so bad his own son-in-laws wouldn't listen to him. You and I got to understand something, gang. We have got to stay with God because he's the only hope they've got. We've got our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our next concern is facing God properly. We're going to face God, but we want to face God properly. Their main concern is facing God and not going to hell. We've got to help them understand they can't compromise to get by. Today's religious world compromises. Music, Bibles, everything. They compromise all kind of stuff. They compromise the church services. They stand in the pulpit, they say, all right, what kind of music you want to listen to? What would you like to wear to church next week? And they try to fit in and make everybody feel good. You're not supposed to come to church to feel good. You're supposed to come to church to get some instruction from God Almighty, get out into the world and tell a lost generation of people about Jesus Christ so they can have a chance to be born again, saved by the grace of God. Is there a preacher... You need to back up and you need to back off. Hang tight, I'm going to get to the message. You need to back up and back off. I was told that in West Virginia. Brother Don, we can't invite nobody to church. I said, why? Because every time we invite somebody to church, you preach against some kind of sin and every one of them is doing it and they get mad and they won't never come back if you don't quit that. And I said, I can't help it. Well, we want our church that people feel comfortable here. I said, sinners are not supposed to feel comfortable in the presence of God. They're supposed to be convicted. They're supposed to break down and crawl to an altar and beg for forgiveness. Well, we want our family to feel comfortable when they come listen to you. I said, well, don't bring them. You said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying Paul was trying to tell the Galatian church that he was afraid of because they was compromising. Judaizers are coming in, stealing, messing them all up, convincing them of this, that, and the other, that Paul wasn't teaching them. Number one, if you're going to beat this thing, let's go back to our theme. These things are written for our learning. If you're going to beat the liberalism that's all around you, people at your work, family members, if you will, grandmas and grandpas, brothers and sisters, whoever it might be, you're going to have to learn how to study that book. 2 Timothy says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to take that book and study that book. Now, thank God you read it, but you need to learn how to study that book. And as you study that book, my dear family, like you did tonight, there's something that God will teach you. And as you're taught in the Word, communicate unto Him that teaches in all good things. And as you're taught in the Word, how to beat liberalism in your own life. Now, you have to beat it. Listen to me. You have to beat it in your own life before you ever try to help the others around you beat it. Husbands, you'll never conquer the liberalism in your spouse if you don't conquer in yourself first. Your words don't mean squat. You've done compromise and backed up and backed off for the children now long enough that your good wife don't believe you no more. Do you understand, dear family, that most husbands and wives are not married to each other anymore? Their wives are married to their children. I'm not against that tremendous, strong motherly instinct. I'm not against that. I'm just trying to get you to understand something. Women folk, you ain't married to your kids. You're the other half of your husband. Both of you are to raise them children in the nurtured admonition of the Lord. If you continually take sides with your children against your husband, you're compromising. Husband, if you continually take sides with your kids against your good wife, you're compromising. And what you do is you create a compromising in-lawship. Wait till they get up and get married and watch the compromise arrive. Why? Because we trained them. Come on, I said we trained them to do that. We trained them to not listen. We trained them to not pay attention. We trained them to say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, and then do what they please when they turn their back. We train our kids to do that. You study that book, you'll find out that that's not how it works. That's not how to grow a kid. That's not how to create a kid. That's not how to build a child. You can't build a child, my dear family. You say, Perch, I love my kids too much to do this, that, or the other. You don't love them at all if you don't keep them corrected. You don't love them at all if you don't teach them the ways of God. You say, Perch, we was nice all week and here you are killing us. No, I'm not killing you. If you ain't guilty, why are you dying? Why are you bleeding? Only the guilty get upset. He said, preacher, I don't like the way you're talking. We're confessing it as sin. Come to God Almighty and say, God, please, let me do better starting tonight. Not tomorrow, tonight. I want to do better starting tonight. God, I have compromised. I have let liberalism come in to my life, and I have now produced it into my wife and produced it into my kids. And Father, I see what my kids are into now, and man, we wouldn't allow that when I was a kid. But I'm allowed it in my kids. If I did that to my dad, I'd have been toothless at 7. How many of you sassed your mom and dad when you was young? How'd it turn out? Preacher, we're not allowed to do that no more. That's what I'm talking about. Somebody in Albany said, if you touch that kid, I will put you into prison. And we raised up a bunch of devils. I sassed my mom one time at a supper table. One time. And when I come to, I was over against the wall. My nose was over here, my teeth was all loose, blood gushing everywhere. Dad had me by the shirt, jacked me back up, slammed me down the chair and said, now say you're sorry. I said, Mom, I am sorry, I am sorry. He said, now eat your supper. I said, I can't. All my front teeth were loose, my nose was a-bleeding, my mouth was busted. I said, look at all this blood. He said, that ain't my fault, eat. And it didn't taste like ketchup. One sass. One. You say, preacher, what are you saying? We listen to kids all the time talk to their parents like they're dirt. Why? Because we bred it into them. If you do that one more time, Johnny. One more time, Johnny. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a timeout if you do that one more time, Johnny. And he's got 35 one more times in his marker. 35 times you've said you'd do something and you've never done nothing. You know what you've done? You're compromised. I'm not saying take a ball bat and beat the fire out of them. I'm saying discipline them according to God's Bible and teach them authority. That's what discipline's for, is to teach them authority. You know this crowd driving around killing cops? They do not have the authority issue in their minds. They hate authority. You want to beat this liberalism in your heart and life? You've got to study the book. Number two, in the same spot, my family, you've got to study. Look at 2 Timothy. No. 1 Timothy chapter 4 with me. Look at this one. First Timothy chapter 4. You want to beat this thing in your heart and mind? You've got to learn to study the Bible. First Timothy chapter 4. God's Bible says these words starting there in about verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers. And the first thing there is in word. How can I be an example of a believer in word, preacher? Study to show yourself approved. Get your learning from the Word of God. Get what's going on from the Word of God. Not from some knucklehead in Albany. Not from some fool down in Richmond, Virginia. Get your learning from the Word of God. In word. First thing out of the book. In word. In conversation. In charity. In spirit. In faith. In purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Notice the key words. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You can't learn doctrine without getting in the Bible. It don't just absorb sticking a Bible on your forehead. You've got to learn, read. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate. Think about what you read. Don't just read it. Think about it. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself. You and I, my love, are so very busy criticizing and critiquing everybody else that we look like idiots. Come on, family. And they look at us in their hearts and minds and say, who are you to tell me I'm wrong? Look at what you're doing. Look at what you're saying. Look how you're looking. Look how you're thinking. And they have every right to do that. We're brush draggers. You know what a brush dragger is? You cut a limb off a tree, tie a rope around your belt, tie a rope on that limb, and take off walking down a dirt road. Nobody knows your tracks because you done covered them up. But we can tell they've been there because the dust is still in the air. And that's what you and I do. We'll drag some brush and cover our own tracks, pointing out the tracks of everybody else around us. It's amazing how critical we really are. You know, if you do this and do this and do this, you wouldn't have that problem. And they look at us and say, excuse me. Well, I was reading the other day, and this is what I think you ought to do. Listen, what they ought to do is get in the book and say, God, what will thou have me to do? You can't live nobody else's life but your own. You want to beat this thing that's beating on us and tearing up our churches all over America? You're going to have to study that book. You're going to have to get in that Bible, read, study, meditate, think. Number two, Ephesians chapter 4. If you're going to beat this thing, my dear family, if you're going to learn how to beat this liberalism and modernism that's attacking every place and every front, you're going to have to learn how to switch crowds. You're going to have to learn how to get away from the crowd that's liberal, the crowd that's modernizing, the crowd that's doing this, that, or t'other. Now, you listen to me, my family. There is no such a critter as, I'll come to your church if you come to mine. There ain't no such a critter as that. All right? That varmint's dead and gone. Well, our pastor does this and our pastor does that. Well, that's fine. That's where you're at. But I'm not into that. Well, yeah, but listen, I came to your place that one revival time. That old Hardman dude was up from the south, and he was there, and I came one night. So come over to my place one night. No. Brother Don, that'll anger them. Let me say this to you. Would you rather have them angry or God angry? And a lot of times, my dear family, that subtle compromise, that subtle, come on, you know, it'll be all right. No one will know the different stuff. Some of you's been places where you got there and you thought, I shouldn't even be here. This is no place for me. What am I doing here, God? What in the world am I doing here? I've been caught up in stuff like that. Funerals are that way sometimes. And boy, this, that, or the other happens in a funeral. You're thinking, man, I shouldn't be in this place at all. I get out of here. And a lot of times the switching of the crowd, we think about it a little bit and we say, yeah, but who am I going to have if I? Well, look around you. You got more sitting right here beside you that love you than you want to take to McDonald's. Am I right or wrong? got to learn how to switch crowds. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 with me, if you please. And I want to read over here, starting at about verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Gang, listen to me. One of their greatest attacks is debate. A liberal loves to debate. He loves to attack in his debate. Now, he ain't never going to admit he's wrong. He ain't never going to do that. It takes the Holy Ghost to convict a sinner that is wrong. But they love to debate. And they love to debate publicly so everybody sees that you're confused about what they're talking about. I've had them in the street many times. Many times they come up and say, I want to know about this. And I say, I don't know nothing about that. What kind of preacher are you? I said, well, not a very good one, I guess, but I don't know nothing about that. And Brother Paul, they say, well, let me tell you how it is. And they run their mouth out loud so everybody can hear them on the street. And I'm standing there passing out tracts while they're yapping, you know, and doing my job. I had one time, he said, what do you think about the second blessing? I said, I don't even remember what it was. Now, I knew where he was going. But I told him, I said, I didn't even remember what my second blessing was after I got saved. It's been so long ago. I've had millions of blessings since then. I don't know what the second blessing really was. I mean, really. And I knew where he was going. He said, no, you don't. And he went off all that stuff, you know. And I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, do you think that's of God? He said, I sure do. I said, are you of God? He said, I sure am. I said, then good, edify me. Let her rip. Come on. You're of God. You say that's of God. I need edified right now. I've been out here in the hot sun for 3 or 4 hours. I'm hot and thirsty and tired and sweaty and nasty, and I'm about to go home and get me something to eat. I need edified. Edify me. Come on, do it. He just kind of looked at me. He said, well, we only do it in church. I said, yeah, and you only do it when the women take over. And that shut him up. See, my dear family, unless you know what that book says and teaches, you can't combat them. You can't deal with them. Now, most of the time, the Holy Ghost just says, put your pearls in your pocket, shut up, boy. Don't even talk to him. Don't even deal with him. And most of the time, that's what I do. But every once in a while, the Holy Ghost, he gets a little horny like I do, I guess. He says, burn him up. Burn him up. Give him the Bible and burn him up. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm asking you a simple question. Who do you and I run with? Now, we're not talking, listen, whoa, hang on. There's as many Baptist stripes as there are zebra. There are men, and you get in a meeting, and they'll say, what camp are you from? I'm not in any man's camp. Well, then where'd you go to school? I said, I didn't. And then that classifies me right away as an idiot because I didn't go to school. I don't have a diploma. So that means there's a way smarter than I am. So no matter what they say, it has to be gospel because they went to school. And the only thing they did at school was listen to somebody. And I'm not against them, okay? Some. But the only thing they knew is what he said was what it said. Well, what if he didn't study it outright? He says 101 is 3. Wow, I don't believe that. Well, that's what my professor said back 45 years ago. The 101 is 3, and he can't be wrong. He's a good professor. And so I believe 101 is 3. Well, that's something about that ain't right. Now, there's been places in the past that's been really good, and I thank God for them. But I'm here to tell you point blank, my dear family, you ain't never been to better school than the Holy Ghost school of hard knocks and daily living. You take that Bible and say, God, I don't know what in the name of sense I'm supposed to do. He said, well, if you'll be quiet, son, I'll tell you what to do. And a lot of times he'll tell us to switch crowds. He'll tell us to change areas. He'll tell us to change groups, if you will, please. He said, having an understanding darkened, these Gentiles, they have an understanding darkened, they're alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling, now here we come, stay with me now, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. There's our word. There's our compromise. There's our worldliness. There's our word. To work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. And then he talks about the old man, putting him off and putting on the new man day by day and on and on and on. And my dear family, listen to me. There are people out there you've got to beware of. And the only way you're going to know whether they're telling you the truth or not is if you know the truth. And the only way to know the truth is get in the Bible and start learning. These things are written for our learning. So that I can lord it over somebody? No, forget lording it over somebody. You and I can't lord it over nobody. Under God, we're equal. You got that? We're not some superman because we're Baptists. We're not some superman because we did this, that, or t'other. Listen, under God Almighty, we're all the same, gang. We're a bunch of people who just desperately need God. That's who we are. I don't care if you've been saved 40 plus like me, 50 like the preacher man. Different ones been saved a long time. Gang, listen to me, it don't matter. It don't matter, never mind. Thank God for what we've gotten in the years we've gotten it. But we got to understand something. The entire ball game is about God. It's about Christ. It's about Him. It's not about us. Never has been. I want to beat this liberalism in my life. I want to beat this modernism. It's attacking me. It's trying to convince me to go left. It's trying to convince me to go right. But my God told me don't go left or right. He said, in fact, don't even look back. I said, preacher, where'd you get that? Out of the book. He told me to abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, why would he tell me that? Because if I abstain from its appearance, I'll not get into the evil. That just don't look right. There's just something about that. We don't know what it is. We can't put our finger on it. But there's something about this that just ain't quite right. God said, run, 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 boy, and you won't get in it. Joseph did. Something about this ain't right. She's got a hold of his thing. Something about this ain't right. He spun out of there, Brother Rick, and hit the road. That's what God says. You learn this book. You get in that Bible right there. You study to show yourself approved. You change crowds. That crowd that's trying to drag you down, make you a modernist, make you a liberal. Listen, you can't run with that Osteen crowd. You can't run with that Warren crowd. You can't run with that charismatic crowd. You can't run with that crowd that are not total on that book right there. He said, well, Brother Don, just a little bit. No. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. We got a lot of good brethren everywhere that have messed up in their lives. Why? Because a friend. A friend. Even maybe a family member, and they love so much, they would not offend them. And they said, well, I'm still saved. And off they went. And now tonight they come to church looking like they're going to Walmart. They don't carry a Bible. They don't sing the right songs. They live in a world that's totally foreign to holiness. You want to measure the whole thing, you measure it by holiness. You can't measure it by any other standard. God is holy, be ye holy, he said. The only measurement we got, the only plumb line we got is holiness. And without holiness, nobody going to see the Lord. And when you and I are with the wrong outfit, and we're not talking about being ugly to them or discourteous to them. Listen, I am kind to the unthankful all the time. I'm kind to the men that stab me in the back all over the country. I carry their suitcases. I carry their guitars. I help them in and out of their cars. I do everything in my power to be a friend unto them, knowing that they're going to go right into church and cut my throat. What they do's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I'm not letting them dictate how I live for God Almighty. I live for God Almighty because I love God, not because I want to use Him. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, we've got to learn how to fight off this liberalism. Don't get weary in well doing. I know it's a battle and I know we're tired. We've been fighting this thing now, me and Mama, 40 plus years. Give in to this. Stop doing that. Well, if you really loved us, sound like that heifer was on Samson's back. If you really loved us, you don't love me. If you love me, you tell me what this thing is. I ain't told my mom and dad. Why would I tell you, huh? Well, if you love me, listen to liberalism. If you love me, you say you're a Christian. If you loved me, he woke up bald-headed. There were men lying in wait in the chamber. Samson's in there with that woman, and the men were hiding in the curtains watching. And when he finally told her all of his heart, cut off his hair, he ended up bald-headed. They were right there. I'm just trying to get you to understand something. The enemy is closer than you think. If you love me. Liberalism says, now, if you really loved me, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't treat people that way. Jesus said, you vipers, you generation of vipers and snakes, hypocrites, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, if you loved me, Jesus, you'd never call us names like that. Nobody loved man more than Jesus. Number three, my family, I'm trying to quit and can't. Number three, if you're going to beat this thing, I'm going to beat this thing. Let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's for our learning, read and write, learn what this Bible says about this thing. If I'm going to beat this thing, go to Ephesians 6 and let's see if we can beat it. Ephesians 6. Let's see if we can whip this liberalism in our lives tonight. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And you know the story about all this armor and all this stuff that we put on to fight the battle. But I want to focus, if I may, on 12. I got a whole series of messages on this verse 12. But let me just give you a thought or two. We'll move on. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, until you and I realize who we're really talking to, so, preacher, where you learn that? I learned it in the street. We're good actors in here. But I'll be honest with you, family. I learned it in the streets of knowledge. Mama was feeding the hungry down there, and I was preaching to them back years ago. And we're talking about 100, 200, 250 people standing there in the park eating and listening to the preaching. And had one come up to me and start a bunch of junk, and I looked right dead in the eye, and I said, I see you in there. And I'm telling you to stop now that foolishness coming out of this mouth. Stop it. I see you in there. Anyway. And Lucian's standing there, my helper, and he came over after the guy walked away, and he said, Brother Don, he said, what did you see? I said, I saw who was really talking. He said, how do you do that? I said, know the truth, and all error becomes obvious. Come on, love. Written for our learning. Know the truth, and all error becomes obvious. Everything that's wrong is as clear as the noonday sun without a cloud in the sky. If you know the truth. Stay with me now. That's a principle you need to get your hands on. Listen to the Word of God again, please. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, dang, it ain't Cuomo and Biden and Harris and Schumer. It ain't them. They're simply running their mouth because somebody in them's talking. And until you understand that, you'll never love them. You'll hate them with a passion. You say, love them? You know, love Schumer. If you're like God, you will. You know God loves him? Can you imagine God loving Schumer? Pelosi? Can you imagine being Mr. Pelosi? I bet he's thrilled to death every time she leaves San Francisco and comes to Washington, D.C. I bet he's just tickled to death. Go right on, baby. That'd be fine. Head on over there. But you know, the Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. You know, when he asked the angels to bind them hand and foot and cast them into the lake of fire, it'll break his heart. We ain't better than them. We don't wrestle against people. And that's where our biggest battle is. In the liberalism and modernism of my life and your life, my dear family, We got this dumb idea that we're fighting each other. We're fighting people. We're not fighting people. We're fighting evil spirits and devils of hell. And like it says right here in the book, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're fighting. Somebody asked me one time, I said, Brother Don, how in the world can you make one of these people, how can you get them to stop doing that? I said, there's only one way I know. Get them to Jesus Christ so they can get saved. There's only one way to turn a devil into a saint, and that's to get him to Jesus Christ so he can get saved. There's only one way to turn an enemy into a friend, is to get him to Jesus Christ so he can get saved by the grace of God. Until then, our work, our anger, our attitude, our retaliation, if you will, is useless as it can possibly be. There ain't no way under the sun you're gonna convince a liberal of anything coming and going. You and I, don't get mad, but I'm just telling you, you and I do not have the intellectual ability to convince a liberal that he's wrong. But the Holy Ghost does. And if you'll learn how to sick the Holy Ghost on them. I do every time I go, I got some family that are absolutely way out there past Pelosi. And before I go see them, I say, Dear God, please calm them down. Dear God, please help them not to start the argument. Tell them not to do that, God. Please, God, help them. And the Holy Ghost, here recently, last two or three times, they've not said one word, not one word. Thank God. Amen. And we have a pleasant visit that way. You can't convince a liberal to do right. He can't do right. In order to do right, he has to have the liver in him, and the liver is the Holy Ghost. Study to show yourself approved. Change crowds for crying out loud. Stand firm with the armor of God on. And remember, like David did when he stood against Goliath, you come to me. You're defying the God of Israel. You're coming to me with swords and that stuff. I'm coming to you with the name of God. I'm going to whoop you with God. I'm going to sling a rock, but God Almighty is going to have to do all this stuff. And David realized it wasn't Goliath he was fighting. He was fighting an enemy, a spiritual enemy in the land. And you and I got to understand that. This world, this country, this New York State, this Virginia State. Listen, we got a governor down there that needs whoopings. That guy kills babies after they're born. He's a baby-killing snake. You don't want the kid? No. Then kill it. No problem. That's Northrop. Thank God he's going out. He's done. Hallelujah. Get another governor in there. But I'm just trying to get you to understand something. You can't convince him he's wrong. Talk to him till you're blue in the face. You'll never talk. You read him the Bible and he'll stand there and defy you. Why? The spirit in him is anti-Christ. The political powers of our day are anti-Christ. The only way that can be combated is with the Holy Ghost of God. And that's where you and I come in, not being weary and well doing. I've told him and told him and told him and nothing's happened. Turn them over to God. Just flat turn them over. Take your hands off of them. Turn them over to God. Lay them on the altar and leave them lay there. Let God handle them. Number four. Study to show yourself approved. Switch the crowd. Stand firm. And number four, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. These things are written for our learning. What are you trying to tell me, Paul? Well, in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 6, I want to read you something here, and I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul as the Holy Ghost of God wrote it down. Paul was the pencil. Holy Ghost was the writer. This is what God said to you and me. Did it ever dawn on you these things? Well, Paul wrote the book of Romans. Yeah, I know he did, but it was the Holy Ghost that really did. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Yeah. Romans 6:6 says these words to you and I. And we're talking about this last thought. How am I going to beat this liberalism in me? How am I going to combat the modernism that's attacking me there? They want me to compromise and give in and fold up. Knowing this, these things are written for our learning, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, can you make a dead man compromise? knowing that our old man is crucified with him, remember Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. All right, I got that, Brother Don. I understand all that, but how am I going to beat this liberalism? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. We want you to do this. Well, I can't. What do you mean you can't? Well, maybe that ain't the right word. I won't. Well, why won't you? Because I'm saved. And Jesus would not go with me if I went to do that, so I'm not going. Yeah, but it ain't going to hurt nothing to go over there. Well, it might not hurt nothing, but it's against what I believe, and so I'm not going to do it. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Do you know as well as I, when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth. And every one of us in this room tonight have a problem with lust. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. 1 John. All of us. Old or young, it don't make no, never mind. The brain's bad. Memory. All right? Memory will get you. If nothing else, memory will. But you got to kill it. Remember the other day about death? I told you about death. You got to die to self. You got to say, brain, we ain't thinking about that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I'm not going to be in on that. Well, you know, if you don't get in on that, you're going to be all by yourself. No, I'll never be by myself. It is 4-1 no matter where I go. Me and the triune Godhead are together every place we go. I'm never by myself. I'm all right. I don't mind being here by myself. Well, you never have no fun doing that. I'm not down here to have fun. I'm down here to worship God. What do you do for fun, preacher? I go to church. What do you do for fun at church? I preach or listen to preaching. What a boring life. I say, y'all try it. It ain't boring. I love it. What are you trying to tell me, Brother Don? Well, look with me, please, if you will, over here in verse 20 to 22, and then we're going home. When you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? Remember when you was ashamed of that world? When you first got saved, you said, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe. Mom and I would travel around and we see folks in campgrounds and we see folks in different places, you know, and we drive by these whole honky-tonks, you know, and folks are sitting outside drinking beer and eating French fries and acting stupid. And we say, how did we live like that? How did we do that day in and day out? And we did. I did for sure. I mean, it was unbelievable. How did we smoke them things? Ah! How did I drink all that trash? How did I live through all of them fights? And you think to yourself, man, them poor people. And then later on down the road, our family, we look at this guy, he may not be going back into them kind of things, but he's backing off and he's compromising. Family, listen to me. My daddy'd get up when I was a little boy and go to the bathroom, and while he was gone, I'd chug his beer and set it back down. That's where I learned to drink. At my daddy's chair. And when I got big enough to drink on my own, I had older friends that could get me the hot stuff. And they got the hot stuff. Now, I'm not saying folks will go back to drinking, but I'm just trying to get you to understand something. Drinking is no worse a sin than lying and gossiping. And there are folks in churches all over America that do nothing but gossip and run their mouth. They're as bad as a drunk. Now, they didn't used to be that way, but something got under their saddle. Something fried their gizzard, if you will, please. And now they're meaner than a junkyard dog. And they're just as wicked as a dope head or a drunk are. And they've gone back and they've compromised their stand for Jesus Christ. And now nobody wants to be around them and talk to them. We're living in a very strange and odd day. Look at your Bible some more, dear families. I read on. He said that for the end of those things is death, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Boy, when we got saved by the grace of God, when we got born again by the grace of God, when our God came and rescued us from that terrible, awful, anti-God life. As bad as this may get sometimes, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but as I give, he said to his men. And a lot of times you and I look out across the congregations of people and we wonder, what are they doing? What's going on with them? Well, let me give it to you in the book of James. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. We are tempted, my dear family, to compromise our stand in these last days. The federal, state, and city governments want us to compromise our stand for God. But when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James chapter 1. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Well, preacher, I'm this way and that way, and God's trying to prove me. He never proves us with sin. Never, never. Wrong God. Wrong God. I had a woman stand up down at Lighthouse Church years ago, and she said, preacher, she said, God told me I could smoke marijuana. I said, wrong God, woman. Sit down and shut up. Preacher, why you do stuff like that? Because somebody's got to tell them the truth. It was not God that told her to sin. They're trying to legalize it all over this country. Then it's all a good thing. It ain't a good thing. It's a piece of something that will lead to something else. Look at your Bible with me. James again, if you will, please. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. But every man is tempted. I'm tempted to compromise. Brother Don, if you'll just back up or back off, you get more revival meetings. I can't. Brother Don, if you'd preach love once in a blue moon instead of judgment all the time, you get more meetings. I try to preach what the Holy Ghost tells me to preach every service. Try my best. I don't succeed every time. Nobody does. But I'm just telling you, gang, the Bible says when he's tempted. When he's tempted. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Why would anybody compromise? It was not for anybody else. It's for themselves. Look at your verses. James 1. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. I'll give you a true story and we'll be done. I preached out of this text at a Christian school one time yonder in North Tonawanda. The school man told me I had 20 minutes. They had classes to take care of, and I had 20 minutes to tell everything I needed to know. I said, yes, sir. I preached out of this text. And in 15 minutes, he was doing this. I said, how long? He said, till you're done. I preached about 30, 40 minutes. On sin when it's finished. And I said, the reason you kids now are in such sin and such a mess is because sin ain't finished yet. You ain't got to the end result of this sin yet. You ain't got to the end result of your hatred. You ain't got to the end result of your sneaking around mom and daddy's back and doing stuff in the dark. You ain't got to the end result of you being out in the church parking lot in the dark before mom and dad come out to get in the cars at night. As soon as church is over, all you kids cry. You ain't got to the end result of that yet. That's why you think you're okay. And boy, I burnt her hide. We went back, got mama, went to eat, come back to the church about 1 o'clock or so, and the phone had rang, and that school had called, and they said, can you get Hardman back over here? And I went back over there, and the teachers met me outside. And I walked out of there and walked up, and I said, what's the problem? And they're crying. They said, listen, you got to get in here and do something. I said, why? They said, we ain't had school since you left. Kids are laying everywhere in the halls, in the rooms, in the gymnasium, in the chapel. Everybody's bawling around here. We don't know what to do with it. I said, gather them up, get them in the auditorium. I sit right down on the platform. I gathered up all the little children around me. I said, all right, let's hear it. First one to talk was a pastor's wife. The pastor died of a brain hemorrhage, and his daughter was absolutely mad at God. She said, I hate God because he killed my daddy. I explained to her that God didn't kill her daddy. She sat there and took it. The next person that spoke was the fourth grade teacher. She said, preacher, I've got a problem. I said, what is it? She said, I hate my class. I said, you what? She said, I hate my class. They're sitting right beside her. I said, ma'am, why would you hate little bitty kids like that? What have they ever done to you? She explained it. It was a bunch of bunk. I said, ma'am, your problem is you ain't right with God. Pastor's daughter, your problem is you ain't right with God. If you're even saved, you ain't right with God. And they confessed, brother, all over that place. What was going on? Pornography, drinking, smoking. We're talking about a Christian school. Sneaking around behind mom and daddy, sneaking out at night, going around town at night, back in by daylight, so mama didn't know, Christian school. I said, when it's finished, it'll bring death. You're going to die. You've already killed your joy. You've already killed your fellowship. You've already killed each other with your hatred. I said, now you're going to die. Get ready. Because sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And I'm telling you what, God moved on that place. What are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you liberalism is attacking us. Now here's the punchline. I'm done. It's 8:27. Here's the punchline. Ready? Is everybody listening? The fourth point is, you better get it settled who you are. You hear me? Are you a child of God? Do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, preacher, what he said, unless you settle who you are, you ain't never going to beat liberalism. It'll take you inch by inch by inch until you finally put your foot down and say, listen to me, whoa, stop, stop, whoa, stop. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not belong to the world. I do not belong to the society. I do not belong to this culture. I don't belong to this state of New York. I don't belong to myself. My God bought me with his blood. My God paid for me with his blood. And until you settle, look at me, love. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Until you settle who you are in Christ, you ain't never going to whoop the liberalism that's attacking you even tonight. Until you make up your mind, I belong to God. It don't do no good to sing, now I belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to me. It don't do no good until you finally settled it inside. The external, I belong to Jesus, is wonderful, but it won't help you when the liberals attack. liberal religion, liberal government, liberal anything. When the liberals attack, the external, I belong to Jesus, is not going to ward off that which is attacking you. You're going to say, well, if I just give a little bit, it'll be all right, and they'll quit. If I just give a little bit, it'll be all right, and they'll quit. Let me ask you something this. Until you know exactly who you are, you know what? You ain't never going to draw a line and say, all right, we're not going no further than this. Getting quiet now. Well, it needs to, because we're being attacked and we ain't fighting back like we're supposed to. Let me say something to you, gang. Look at me, look at me. Listen, right here is where we was 50 years ago. Right here. No, we're not doing that. No, I ain't going there. No, that ain't happening. Little by little, Brother Rice, come on, you and I have been at this thing a long time. Brother Fenton, a long time. And little by little, we didn't want to. Just lighten up. God. Little by little. Look at me. We backed up, Brother Richard. We backed up on this. We backed up on that. Backed up another inch or two, thinking, oh, this is as far as I'm going. And they said, just a little more won't hurt. Well, maybe not. Now look where we are. There was a day when we walked into town and there was respect and honor. Now it don't bother them to blue cuss around you no more than it does the beer joint crowd cuss. They don't more respect us than fly the moon in our day. Why? What did we have? What happened? We were attacked. We thought, well, we'll negotiate. Sounds like Chamberlain, 37. We're going to negotiate with Hitler and tell him he can't have Czechoslovakia. And Hitler says, I will not bother Czechoslovakia, sir. And Chamberlain turned around and went back to England as Hitler marched through Czechoslovakia. And you and I have got this dumb idea that we can negotiate with liberalism. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll compromise. You take so much and I'll take so much and we'll just stay right there. How about that? And compromise says, good. That's a plan. And the next time we watch, we're clean back over here, and they're right there. And the next time we watch, they're clean up here, and we're clean up here. And the next time we watch, this is as far as I'm going. And you look at today's religianity, my dear family, the pulpits of America today, there's very few fired up hot pulpits in America today. A lot of them have compromised the book. A lot of them have compromised their stand. A lot of them ain't nothing but hirelings getting a paycheck every week, preaching two times a week. Talking two times a week. They ain't preaching nothing. There ain't no conviction in their churches. There ain't no conviction in their homes. Are you listening to me, my love? They said back there they wasn't going to go no further, but they've done got into the pulpits now, and now we got people in the pulpits, my dear family, that preach a heresy doctrine, anti-Christ doctrine, anti-holy doctrine. Are you listening to me? And our people love to have it so because it feels so good. My God looked at us, and I'm done. Come on, baby. You don't come on, I'll preach all night. My God looked at us and said, that style of church makes me sick. That style of Christianity makes me sick. Sit there and tell me your increase is good, I don't need nothing. That kind of church makes me sick, God says in Revelation chapter 3. And all I'm trying to do tonight is warn you, loved ones, this battle is raging and you've got to study and you've got to change your crowd and you've got to stand fast when they're beating the devil out of you. You've got to lean forward into the fight. And number four, you better settle it who you are or you will not win it. Are you God's child? Praise the Lord. Bow your heads and close your eyes, please.